call recording on.
Okay, you guys heard us start call recording. So this is a podcast which Belle Vass and Catherine Evans from Sun, soon to be Oracle, and they're here talking to me today about the National Health Information Network and the Connect Project and Sun's relationship to those projects. So to get ourselves kicked off, could you guys introduce yourselves and then talk a little bit about what NHN is and what your relationship is to the project?
Okay, all right. Well, I'm Bill Vass. I'm the President and Chief Operating Officer of Sun Federal, which is a solely owned subsidiary of Sun Microsystems, and we operate as a separate subsidiary because we do a lot of secure business with the federal government, and we need to be end-to-end U.S. citizens, and so we operate as a separate entity. We've been working on the NHN project for about a year, wouldn't you say, Catherine?
Yes, as this project has been going on, we've pretty much been working on it from the start.
Yeah, so Catherine, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and then turn it back to me, and I'll talk a little overview of NHN, and then you can pick it up with some detail.
My name is Catherine Evans, and I work primarily in the software part of SunFed. I'm responsible for government health care in the both the civilian and military health side, and I've been working with the NHN project pretty much since it started about a year and a half ago with the open source demonstration pilots that are going on.
Yeah, so NHN, what it does is it goes out and it connects and creates a single patient view, basically, along with an enterprise service bus, a SOA-based enterprise service bus, to allow transmission of information between the, 26 agencies that can manage healthcare, and then has the potential to expand out to all state and local agencies and even be reused by some commercial organizations that connect into health. It's built on an open source platform, open source middleware, identity management, even open source database components, and in some cases on open source operating systems, but it can really run on any operating system and any hardware platform. Some of the reasons that the HHS went with open source, first of all, the open source is known to be significantly more secure than closed proprietary code, and you can see great information that, as a matter of fact, on my blog. If you go take a look at blog.sum.com/bvass, I recently published the findings from the Department of Homeland Security, showing how much more secure open source code is than proprietary code. And so security is obviously important when you talk about healthcare records. In addition to that, by having the code be able to be viewed by privacy experts, they can ensure that the code has the proper security and that the code's really doing what HHS and the vendors say it's doing. So that provides a good from both a privacy and a security aspect. In addition, by moving with open source, they're able to significantly speed the procurement and deployment. They don't have to go through a long procurement cycle ahead of deploying. They can deploy quickly and then procure support for it. They have a significant cost reduction, almost a 10x cost reduction over proprietary. It increases the quality of the code through the public review process and the cycles that open source goes through. It goes through generally, commercial open source software goes through generally 3 times more quality reviews than proprietary software does. Were able to also engage, one of the big advantages is the whole healthcare industry and HHS can engage in the community around the open source products and add their features in based on what they need. And these are very, GlassFish and things like this, these are very enterprise class products. They run huge web scale environments with millions and millions of users and telco switching environments and billing environments. So they're very robust products to begin with. I think the more, you know, this is, I think, a great example of being them being able to engage and get their requirements into a product and be able to deploy quickly and more securely at a lower cost. And I think that's some of the big initiatives. So, Catherine, do you want to speak some more specifics about it?
Yeah, I think that as you said, one of the biggest challenges that developers that are developing for sort of cross-agency applications have right now is that the procurement cycle takes such a long time if you have to procure for a lot of different departments and programs, and that was something that they didn't have to worry about doing upfront procurement. They really could tell exactly what they were getting and indeed could verify that it actually worked for them in their environment very quickly.
Yeah, because this is going to handle, I think, 160 million transactions a day, something like that?
A very large number. It is envisioned to be the national health information network so that all of the health transactions would be running across these types of gateways. So you would have a significant number of transactions every day on these gateways.
Yeah, if somebody wanted to learn more about this project, where would you suggest they go look right now? I mean, I've got stuff again on my blog. If you, I blog specifically about NHIM, and of course, Catherine helped me pull that together so that it would be accurate about NHIM. So there's a lot of good stuff on my blog. Where else could they go to look and even, you know, be part of the project if they wanted to be?
Well, so the best place for them to actually go is to the Office of the National Coordinator has a site up on the Health and Human Services, which is www.hhs.gov, and they can actually go onto the Office of the National Coordinator, or ONC, site to actually see not only the standards that were written to and the use cases that were being addressed, but also all the information and presentations and stuff like that have gone on within the NHIN community. So all of that is actually located on the Office of the National Coordinator site at Health and Human Services.
All right. Well, so, Fred, what else would you like to talk about?
Well, this is so far, this has been a really easy interview. You guys are doing a great job interviewing each other. I don't even know what I'm doing.
Well, making sure, I just want to make sure that when we have Catherine, since she's the expert on the specifics about NHIN, that she gets all the good information out for the audience.
It has been good information. Now, you guys, one of the things that you guys have developed that is now central to the Connect software, and I think there is a place where you can, this is downloadable software now. If you would like a copy of the open source Connect software, you can get that.
Yes.
Is GlassFish. So I'd like to talk a little bit about what GlassFish is, why it's good. I've heard lots of people in the open source community indicate that they were happy that this has been chosen. So why is this a good thing?
Yeah, so GlassFish is basically an application server, and we all usually deploy it with our Java composite application server to do composite application and SOA deployments, but it can be used standalone as well. GlassFish is a very high-performance, highly threaded middleware application, equivalent to, you know, some of the best thing you'd see, for instance, from WebSphere. It actually has a better Gartner rating from a performance perspective. It has a higher threaded throughput than WebSphere, for example. And it, obviously it's open source. It's very scalable. It's used heavily in the telecommunications industry. Like I said, they use it. So things, it's got to have that sort of 5.9s availability capability. It's designed to scale to massive numbers of transactions. One of the telcos uses it as a routing for their SMS traffic. It handles sort of the SMS kind of messaging traffic across its app gateway. And that's 4.5 billion transactions a day for that vendor. In addition to that, another vendor's using it for switching, handling their control of all their switching environment. In fact, probably this phone call is running through GlassFish in one way or another. So it's been a very robust platform. Initially, you know, GlassFish started, for those who've been around middleware forever like I have, back at Kiva and NetGenesis were some of the first app servers out there and had some of the largest market share. And then we took those two products and sort of combined them and then open sourced it and evolved it into quite a big project. There's about 8 million to 9 million people who've pulled down GlassFish, installed it, and are running it. So it's a very robust product, very enterprise scale. If you compare it to, say, JBoss, which is another great open source middleware product out there, the difference is that it just is designed to scale significantly larger. It's built to handle all today's new chips are multi-core and multi-thread, and it's got threading built in from day one as opposed to an afterthought. So it's designed to really scale.
Well, that's a great description. Now, I understand through the rumor mill that Sun's Mural project is under consideration for
I was also going to mention that one of the advantages to using the GlassFish application server and the Glass is that it integrates very well with a number of different products that are out there in the open source, like Project Mural, which is a master patient index solution available in the open source, but also the GlassFish ESB, the open SSO product that is out there in the open source. All of this is tied in and completely interconnected through NetBeans. So it makes it very simple for developers to be able to go out and use these products. And when you're talking about a national scale open source project in healthcare, one of the things that was of consideration was that they wanted to make sure that that they didn't have to grab a whole bunch of separate disparate open source systems and try and pull them all together. These are all completely integrated, and they were able to use all of these in the infrastructure itself, so that it's much easier for somebody to come into the project. Say it was a state organization that wanted to use that, it would be very simple for them to come in and learn that project because they're all integrated. So,
yeah, and like everything that we build, it's standard J2EE compliant, so you're not locked into using it, but it's nicely integrated should you want to use it. And I think that's always been something that we've focused on as a company.
So I'd like to talk a little bit more specifically about Sun's Mural project and why it's good. Rumor Mill indicates that it's one of the open source projects under consideration for the official MPI component of Connect. And I understand you guys might not be able to comment on that, although if you can, I'd love you to. But what can you tell us about Mural and why it's good?
Well, Project Mural is an open source master patient index. In Sun vernacular, it's called master data management. But what it does is it allows you to access multiple different data sources within a hospital or a medical facility. In many cases, for example, Indian Health Service has a number of different data sources that they use with their patients. And what the Project Mural component of open source provides is the ability to provide a single best record of that patient, so that can be identified through a gateway, and you can actually find, even if there may be misspellings in the names or that type of thing, you can actually find that data very effectively. The advantage to using the open source system is that it significantly reduces the cost of ownership and cost of deployment on the application, because it is a necessary component for any national health network. And having that as an open source component really enhances the NHN Connect to be able to be used in a lot of facilities which maybe would not necessarily be able to afford some of the other competitive solutions there.
Okay, great answer. So one of the things that Connect is it's a very innovative solution coming from the government, in the sense that the government is stepping forward and saying, we're going to step in and we are going to create a project, a higher level project built on things like GlassFish and possibly Mural and some other things, and we're going to put this out so that we can create this network at least between the federal agencies, but then potentially as a gateway to other parts of the what will become our entire infrastructure for moving health information around. But that puts the federal government in the position of running an open source project. And I talked to Vish, and did an interview with Vish, who's the kind of the person most in charge of the Connect effort, and he said that he'd actually like the open source community to kind of step up and take a leadership role about where Connect ends up going. Now, obviously, Sun is one of the kind of core companies involved with this, but is in a great position to take up that banner how do you see in general the government, you know, interfacing with leadership coming from the community on how, what direction a project should take? Specifically, you know, being a project manager, I have had some experience with that, and you have to be, you know, mean sometimes. You have to say, you know, you got some great ideas and some great code, but we're going to go this other direction. And so you can't please everybody in that role. And so obviously that's tough, because it's exactly what the federal government is out to do, is please everybody. And that's something that industry is better at, you know, running that meritocracy. I just wondered if you had any comments on those issues.
Well, so I think that, and I'll let Catherine augment in a second. I think that, you know, there's going to be components of it that the government would like us to integrate into our product set, and those components, you know, the way Spend operates is we always have a what we call a community version and a enterprise version of our product. So, for example, Red Hat does Fedora and Red Hat, right? Well, we've got, you know, community MySQL and enterprise MySQL. We've got community GlassFish and enterprise GlassFish. We've got OpenOffice and StarOffice and OpenSolaris and Solaris. Now, for us, both sides are always open source, but one is a superset and one is a subset, right? So what we do is we harvest from the community, and we go through and clean up the integration, do backward compatibility testing, check on security, and then do indemnification. Since we indemnify our code when you buy a support contract, we have to know the entire history of every line of code. And so there's a lot of project management on that side. When it's going to get incorporated into a commercial open source software product that we're going to deploy and support. So I think what this involves is the Sun working with the government to decide what components is the government going to just keep as, if you like, government open source that they're going to have to own and project manage. And as a matter of fact, we have consultants working with HHS to help set up that community process, because we've been doing it for years, and set up what it takes to manage that community process, because we've done that for years, set up the licensing and the legal constructs for it, because we've been doing that for years. And I think they're also working with a number of systems integrators to sort of help manage that project for the components that are going to just be, if you like, GOTS, off-the-shelf, government off-the-shelf open source products. And then there's going to be components that Sun takes and puts into their product from that community as well, and it's something that we'll support. So, Catherine, what else do you see going on there?
Well, I think that we've been doing a lot of work. There's sort of a short-term answer and maybe a longer-term answer. And I think we've been doing a lot of work with the Office of the National Coordinator and BISH to help them kind of understand the process of a community, because, you know, we at Sun have a lot of experience with doing community developed software. And part of that is to put the software out there, put the code out there, and from the inception, really allow the community to take a look at that and say, you know, here's what we would like the direction of this software to go. At the same time, there are requirements that have to be met for a national health infrastructure. So I think that there's going to be some hybrid in at least in the short term of where this is going. A lot of directed development, at least for the federal government agencies and the NHN Connect work, because there's some things that they must have in there to augment and to fulfill their requirements. And then there's going to be some work that is going to be proposed and pushed out from the community itself. And I think that there's going to be a hybrid environment there for a while. It will be certainly open source, but I think some of the development and the directed development work will certainly remain within the government for a while, because there's agency-specific requirements that must be met in order for the agencies themselves, the federal agencies, to be able to deploy in it. So I think it is definitely the intention eventually to go out into the complete open source community, but certainly there's going to have to be some work, continued effort on the federal government side to make sure that their requirements are in there.
Right. So right now they're in a short-term sprint mode, and they're going to maybe slow down and open up more and more as they get out of sprint mode. Is that essentially the right way to look at it?
That is my understanding, yes.
Okay, great. So Oracle's buying Sun, you know, the Oracle CEO in the past has said, you know, things like, well, the open source companies, they're not worth buying because, you know, you can just go take their intellectual property. And, of course, the very fact that he thinks in terms of the words intellectual property, you know, kind of is a good indication that he may not get open source. But Sun is very much an open source company. I'm looking at your front page, and I see six projects you can download right now, and all of them, or at least as far as I understand, all of them are open source.
Yeah, all of our software is open source.
Sun really has made this huge commitment.
If it isn't already open source, it's going through identification to become open source. So.
Right. So, you are obviously going down that pathway.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of discussion about, well, you know, how is Oracle going to be as an open source company? And obviously, you know, it's a crystal ball issue for all concerned. I understand that. But I was wondering if you could comment generally about that, but more specifically, if you could, talk about, you know, how you think the future of some of Sun's healthcare open source might be.
Right. So let me start with, you know, sort of the legal caveat that I cannot represent Oracle or, you know, say what Oracle's thinking or what Oracle's going to plan to do. So with that, you know, foundation, I can say sort of what Larry's been saying to us and what Larry's been saying publicly. If you go to their FAQs, and I encourage you to go to their FAQs on the Oracle site and hear it directly from them, and so that you'll understand it better. I know that Larry's interest in Sun is, you know, Larry's, you know, motivation is to, you know, expand his revenue base and continue, you know, profitable growth of his company. And he's been very successful at that, and he's a very smart man. And I think he sort of looks at the acquisition of Sun as allows him to expand in three basic areas that he can't expand to today. And the first area is in sort of the Web 2.0 world. Oracle is not established in any way at the Facebooks, Google, Yahoos, our customer base for our software. And he understands that those customers, you know, base their growth on top of open source software platform. And he has nothing established there, and this gives him a foothold into that arena. I think that Oracle also understands a certain amount of open source. If you look, a lot of their middleware components pull from the same code base that we do in some areas around, you know, the Tomahawk and the Apache middleware suite areas that we contribute a lot to. And then they just build the Oracle secret sauce on top of that and use, you know, use and expand on top of that. So I think they understand certainly how to harvest from the open source community. I think one challenge that Oracle will have here is that and it's been a challenge for Sun, frankly, in some ways, that, you know, we engage in the communities and we manage the communities, but we don't own the communities. And if Oracle gets too heavy-handed, if you like, on any of these communities, they'll just fork and go on without Oracle. And I think that would be, you know, it'd be bad for Oracle because they lose the install-based revenue capture component there and the ability to manage it. So I think, you know, Larry understands the risk there and is, you know, planning to keep and engage a lot of our community folks to ensure that Oracle isn't seen to as abusing that or mismanaging it. So I think he understands that, and his whole purpose, you know, the first reason he's got is to go out and capture the Web 2.0 world. The second reason is, you know, Larry's been very big on growth in the enterprise software world. You can see him, he's bought like just about every ERP system except SAP and the ones that Microsoft are building, and enterprise middleware to support that and enterprise databases. So this gives him a chance, the acquisition of Sun, to expand into the hardware business in that area, and I think really optimize the idea of doing an end-to-end stack solution that includes hardware, software, you know, server storage, as software altogether. And really, you know, he's picking up things like the Sunray Fin client that will let him do an like a call center deployment where he can do the desktops through Fin clients, the back-end servers to support the desktop sort of, you know, desktop display kind of capability, the server infrastructure to run the business rules and the storage infrastructure to store the data on, and then, you know, the database and the middleware to handle all that, and allows him to really do an end-to-end solution in the enterprise in a new and unique way that really only IBM can do today in a lot of ways. So I think it allows him to really take on IBM and HP and even Cisco straight up there. And then third, you know, he's very interested in Java and Solaris as being some of the, you know, the most important software assets out there in the industry today in a lot of ways. And that gets him, you know, hooked into the telco areas. He's certainly been engaged in the telco areas underneath the billing systems and things like that. And now he's going to be able to be engaged even down to the handset and the operating system in those areas as well. So I think, you know, expansion into Web 2.0 and cloud, and that requires an understanding of open source, even in the healthcare arena as it moves in that direction. I think expansion into the enterprise through hardware and expansion really everywhere with Java and Solaris really makes Oracle quite a powerful company from an intellectual property perspective.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you two would like to talk to about either open source or what you're doing with Connect, anything at all? Otherwise, I don't have any more questions.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, I encourage people to go out and take a look at my blog. I've been blogging for a long time, and I'm often talking about open source and security and quite a number of other topics out there. But there's a lot of good information there, a lot of good information about cloud computing and things that we're doing in that area and thoughts about the industry. So I encourage people, it's blogs.sun.com/BVAS. So go out and take a look at that, or you can just Google on Bill Vass. I'm really excited to see the government moving into open source around NHN. I think it's you know, it's great for the citizens of the country. It'll save them money, increase their security, and increase the effectiveness of the government's ability to deliver health care to them. And I think it's very visionary of them to go this direction. And I think I look forward to it expanding out into state and local governments. And I think, you know, open source and a community process is a fantastic way to do that. And, you know, our country was founded on, you know, an open government process. That's why we have a free press and everything else in our government, and that helps to protect the security of our citizens. Open source is a great way to sort of follow that open government idea into the deployment of things like healthcare and other big technical problems the government has to solve. And Catherine, let me turn it over to you real quick on anything else you'd like to say about NHN or how people can get engaged in NHN if they're interested.
Well, I think, again, going to the HHS.gov site, and that will actually point you to the location of the source code that you can then download. I think also, you know, just as a note, I think it's been incredibly, the whole organization that's with the Office of the National Coordinator have been incredibly forward-thinking in terms of what they're planning on doing with releasing the ending code into the open source. That has been an amazing, I'm very pleased to see that step happening, and it's been a really fantastic relationship working with them and making sure that, you know, that this is something that benefits the whole nation, and it really has the opportunity to transform healthcare and really get out the message not only of open source, but really transform the way that healthcare is done in the United States. So I'm really pleased that they're doing it on such a forward-thinking way.
To reiterate, anyone who has questions about the Oracle Sun acquisition, if you're one of our customers or things like that, please go take a look at Oracle's FAQ right on their site and hear it directly from them. Don't rely on my input or conjecture. I think it's really important for you to go hear it directly from Oracle. And it, you know, it doesn't hurt even to talk to your Oracle rep about what they're going to be doing in these areas and ensure that they understand the importance of a lot of these big projects.
So that was Catherine Evans and Bill Vass from Sun, who I spoke to today. I'd like to point out that I've invited both of them to do keynotes at my FOSS Health Unconference in Houston, Texas, which will be running every summer from now on. You can find out more about that conference at fosshealth.eventbrite.com to shamelessly plug my own stuff. So if you thought this was interesting, come hear the keynote, and I'm sure it'll be even more interesting, more of the same kind of information that you can only get from the insiders who are doing the projects. So Catherine and Bill, thank you very much. Good to talk to you, and you should see this up on my website pretty soon.
All right. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.